Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Now, today's message is part of a series of messages. This is the fourth part of a series that is intended to accompany a new book that we're offering. The title of the book and the title of this whole series is What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith. And what I'm doing in this book and in this series of messages that you can have on CD or DVD is I'm going through the Scripture with various parts of the Scripture, and this is what the book and the DVD and CD series is intended to be, to guide you into the various definitions and descriptions of what the Bible calls a true Christian. Now, do you claim to be a Christian? Well, this is intended to help you in the process of what the Bible calls self-examination. Put your claim to the test of the Bible. And in this message, this fourth message that accompanies the book, I've entitled a whole chapter of the book in this way: Christians are sinners saved by the grace of God. Christians are sinners saved by the grace of God. We sing a hymn called Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And I want to show in this message, and if you, the book goes into much more detail and has many more scripture references for you to study as to guide you through the scriptures, is this: that true Christians are sinners saved to the uttermost, not partially, but to the uttermost, solely by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this salvation by God's grace in Christ Jesus shines through and in every aspect of salvation, both in eternity and in time. And so we understand, we see these words in Scripture. You know, a lot of times we read words like grace. You know, grace means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. To so many, and I know I used to believe this way, that grace means that God kind of helps you or gives you a chance or gives you the opportunity to be saved, but it's all up to you, really, your decision, your will. That's not what grace is at all. The salvation that God freely provides His people is by grace. That means it is unconditional towards the sinner. And grace in the Scripture teaches that all of salvation is conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ, who by Himself, as the surety and substitute of God's elect, which by the way are called the election of grace, that all that He accomplished as their surety and substitute, He fulfilled every condition to ensure and demand the salvation of all whom the Father gave Him. So, let's put it this way. A true Christian is a sinner, first of all, chosen by God unto salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, think about that. This Scripture talks about salvation as that which is eternal and set up, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, that which is given His people in Christ Jesus before the world began. Do you know that salvation by grace is older than creation itself? The book of Ephesians, read the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We'll reference that in many places, and I have it in the book quite a bit. How that God predestinated His people to be conformed to the image of Christ before the foundation of the world. Electing grace. I know people don't like to talk about election, and I'll tell you why they don't like to talk about it. Because if God's the one doing the electing, they don't like it. They want themselves to be the one doing the electing. But the Bible speaks of God's elect. That's what a true Christian, that's one of the titles of a true Christian, the elect of God. Peter told his hearers, his readers, he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How can I do that? Or am I looking to Jesus Christ as my only hope and ground of salvation? Am I pleading His blood alone? Am I pleading His righteousness alone? But either way you cut it, a true Christian is a sinner chosen by God, not based upon some foreseen obedience or faith. You know, there are those people who say, well, God, that means God looked down through the telescope of time. And He foresaw what you would do, whether by way of just believing or obedience or whatever, and He chose you on that basis. My friend, number one, that is not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's a concoction of the pride and self-righteousness of man. Men and women who think that they are saved because they rose above the mass of humanity and chose a better way. No, sir. The Bible says if left to ourselves, we would never choose God, the things that glorify God. Now, we can choose morality. We can choose religion. We can choose sincerity. We can choose a lot of things. We're free moral agents. But our wills are in bondage to sin so that we will not choose that which glorifies God. Man by nature wants salvation, but he doesn't want it God's way. He wants it his own way. There is a way that seems right unto man. It's the way of death. You see, God's way of salvation by grace, true grace, leaves me with no room to brag or to boast. But now man's way leaves man room to boast, and that's what man wants. That's what you may be still in that mass of humanity. But if God leaves us to ourselves, we won't choose Him. God's election of grace was never based upon any foreseen faith or any foreseen obedience. If that's the case, it's not the election of grace. It's the election of works. So a true Christian is a sinner chosen by God unto salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And that choice was always based upon the fact that Christ would come into the world and by His obedience unto death establish righteousness whereby God could be both a just God and a Savior. That brings me to the second thing here. A true Christian is a sinner whom Jesus Christ as surety and substitute redeemed by His blood on the cross. Redeemed by the blood of the crucified one. Now, first of all, what is a surety? A surety is one who takes full responsibility and accountability for the debt of another. Well, before the foundation of the world, God chose a people and gave them to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And His Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, willingly agreed to take their penalty, their debt upon Himself. And He promised to come into the world and as God-man pay that debt on the cross. He's a surety who substituted Himself to pay the redemption price by His blood on the cross. Now, a true Christian, therefore, is legally and objectively righteous as he stands in Christ. In other words, that means this. He cannot be charged with sin. He's a sinner. Sinner saved by grace. But he cannot be charged with sin. You want me to prove that to you? Well, look at the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 33, where the apostle Paul writes this. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Did you see that? Now, who's he talking about? He's not talking about the physical nation Israel there. He's talking about true Christians. He's talking about sinners saved by the grace of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's God who declared them not guilty. It's God who declared them righteous in His sight. How could God do that and still be God? How could He be a righteous judge and do what's right and judge according to truth and not do that? There's not but one way. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's how God could be just and still declare them righteous and not guilty. It's only by the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't justify a sinner based on that sinner's faith. I hear preachers and all, some of the old writers, they talk about being justified by faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, in the Bible, it means this, that we're declared, we who are saved, sinners saved by grace, we're declared not guilty and righteous before God based upon the merits, the goodness of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive Him by faith. But you see, that's what happens by the grace of God, not by the power of man, not by the will of man. And so a true Christian is a sinner who's been adopted into God's family by the adoption of grace. I'm an adopted son of God. But my adoption wasn't because I was worthy. It wasn't because I earned it or deserved it. It's of grace. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, listen to this, talking about the coming of Christ into the world. And he says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, that's His Son being Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, and He was made of a woman, that's His holy, sinless humanity. Remember, He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. His name shall be called Emmanuel, interpreted God with us, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, being made under the law means that all the salvation of His people was conditioned upon Him. It was put upon His shoulder. Their sins were imputed to Him, charged to Him, accounted to Him. He became accountable, responsible to satisfy the law, the justice of God, for their in their place. And verse 5, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, when we think about Christianity, true Christians, we have to think about that objective legal union that we have in Christ. I am forgiven of all my sins. How? It wasn't baptism that did it for me. It wasn't walking an aisle. It wasn't my tears of remorse. It's the blood of Jesus Christ alone that cleanses me from all sin. And I'm righteous before God. I have a perfect righteousness that cannot be contaminated and cannot be taken away. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed, charged, accounted to me. And as a result of what Christ accomplished on Calvary, what happens? A sinner who by nature is dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sin, is born again by the Spirit. He's made alive. He's regenerated. He's quickened by the Spirit. Romans 8:10 says that if Christ is in us, it says the body is dead here, this physical body, because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit imparts spiritual life based on what? Based upon the fact that Christ accomplished righteousness on Calvary. Out of His death, burial, and resurrection comes life. Now, a person does not become a Christian until that person is born again by the Spirit. He's chosen from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, before He's even born, before the world was ever created. He's redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary a little over 2,000 years ago. But in the process of time, according to the will and power of God and the providence of God, he's brought under the preaching of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit in power makes that gospel the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see, true Christians begin their lives here on earth as fallen, sinful, lost sheep. Over in the Old Testament, for example, the prophet Isaiah, speaking prophetically of the coming Messiah, who is the suffering substitute and servant, came to save his people whom he identifies as sheep. And he says in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all of his sheep." Remember Christ said in John chapter 10, "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So having been chosen of God before the foundation of the world, having been redeemed by the blood of Christ on Calvary, then Christ sends his Spirit to do what? To give them life. It's life from the dead. That's what the new birth is. Over back over in Galatians chapter 4, he talked about that we might receive the adoption of sons, talking about Christians, sinners saved by the grace of God. He says in verse 6 of Galatians 4, "And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The heart there is the new heart, the regenerated heart that brings a sinner to Christ. Christ said in John 6 and verse 37, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." And listen to verse 40. He says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." And Christ says, "I will raise him up at the last day." That's a true Christian. You see, a true Christian is a sinner who has been born again by the Holy Spirit and brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought to repentance of dead works and idolatry. I love reading in the Old Testament those descriptions of the true people of God who are literally true Christians. And one of those passages is Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at verse 25, when the prophet Ezekiel, speaking of the glorious future in the coming of the Messiah and the great work that he would do to save his people. And he says in Ezekiel 36, 25, he says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Now, what is it that the Bible tells us cleanses a sinner from his sins? It's not literal water, like taking a bath. It's not even the waters of baptism. Baptism is a confession of Christ. But the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. His blood is his death. His blood is the same way of speaking of his righteousness. You see, his blood means that he died under the justice of God to fulfill all righteousness on behalf of his people. So if you're a true Christian, you stand before God in his righteousness. And that's a glorious thing. But Ezekiel wrote there, he prophesied in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he said, "Now from there," he says, "a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit." Now he's talking about spiritual life, a new heart, a new mind, a new affections, a new will. He said, "Will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." That's the unbending, unpliable, unrepentant heart. And he said, "I'll give you a heart of flesh." Now, flesh there doesn't mean sin. It means something that is humble and pliable. He says in verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them," following Christ. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. You see this? This is how God brings a true Christian to faith in Christ. And it's all of grace. A true Christian is a sinner saved by grace. A true Christian's God-given faith involves believing God's Word as it reveals all things in light of the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul wrote, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." In other words, if you believe the gospel, that's the evidence that the Holy Spirit has made it the power of God unto salvation to you. The power there, that word power, it's that we get our English word dynamite from it. The gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation. But to whom is it the power of God unto salvation? To everyone that believeth. He says in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The justified, sinners saved by grace, they live by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the promise of salvation is only to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as He's identified and distinguished in the gospel of God's grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now here's what you have to understand. First of all, what is His name? Listen to what it says. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." True Christians, sinners saved by grace, are those who have called upon the name of the Lord and they're saved. Well, what is His name? Well, His name is not just a label. It's not just going around saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." It's not just looking up in the sky and saying, "Lord, Lord." You remember in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the Lord said, Lord Himself said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." His name is that which identifies and distinguishes Him from all counterfeits. Who is Jesus Christ? We've talked about it. He's God in human flesh. He's the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And His name is that which identifies Him and distinguishes Him not only in His person as God in human flesh, God manifest with us, but that which He accomplished. You see, His reputation, His honor, His glory is on the line. What did Jesus Christ accomplish in the salvation of His people? Did He come down here and try to save you if you'd let Him? If that's the name you're calling on, that's a counterfeit. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, actually redeemed His people from their sins. And by the righteousness which He accomplished on Calvary, He secured their salvation unto glory. That's who He is. And all of it's based upon His work on the cross. You know, the first time that the phrase calling upon the name of the Lord is used is back in the book of Genesis when Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Now, Abraham was not the first example or illustration of a sinner calling upon the name of the Lord. Well, you can go back further. Go back to Abel. Abel came with the blood of a lamb. He was calling upon the name of the Lord. But the phrase is not used back there in Genesis 4. It's used in Genesis, I think chapter 12. It may be chapter 15. But Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. But do you know what he did before he called upon the name of the Lord? He built an altar and sacrificed. Now that altar and that sacrifice was a picture of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom Abraham looked by faith into the future. And the Lord Himself in John chapter 8 made this statement. He said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." My friend, my point is this. a Christian calls upon the name of the Lord. A Christian is a sinner saved by the grace of God. And he sees that grace as the assurance of salvation from his sins, the assurance of being justified before God, the assurance of eternal glory in heaven, all based upon the glorious person and finished work of Christ. That's what it is to call upon his name. And so a sinner saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And so, true Christians see and acknowledge that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation's not of you. It's not of me. It's not of my decision. Do we make decisions all the time? Do we make wrong decisions? Yes. Do we make good decisions? Yes. But my friend, until the Holy Spirit shows you the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you will never decide for Christ. And when you decide for Christ, you'll find out from the Bible, as you examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith, that even that decision, which is an act of faith, is of the Lord. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest you or me should boast. Salvation. A true Christian, he's a sinner, she's a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And that's it. There's no other way. No other place to go. No other one to turn to. But Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, calling upon his name for salvation. Learn his name. In this process of self-examination, ask the Lord to reveal to you the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.